The pandemic has made driving more dangerous. We're finding out why that is and potential ways to make getting behind the wheel safer. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now let's get a check on our fall membership campaign. I'm here with Jay Carlisle Larson. Hi, JC.
Good morning. How are you, Kate?
I'm doing well. And we're here to say at WPR, it is listener contributions that are the largest source of funding. And your gift keeps the programs you value, including the morning show, on the air. So make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, it's always a good time to give, but it's an especially good time to give right now because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,000. This generous match is from current members, including a member in Belleville, and it means that they are going to match every dollar you give.
Love it. It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It is a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has a really unique funding model. It's a two-way street that creates a really high-quality product. So this is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It is a truly amazing system. You get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. So make your contribution for the independent news, the information, the great talk discussions. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that member drives are a really important time to hear from you. If you haven't donated to WPR before, we'd especially like to hear from you right now.
Indeed, especially in this match, any amount you give makes an important difference, and giving takes just a few minutes of your time. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. And when you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it. I mean, from my lay point of view, it's beholden to no one, and it has people working for it who love radio and love what they're doing and love who they work for. You hope that people's character says, this is valuable to me, I need to support it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jay Carlisle Larson. Your support today during the fall member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And giving to WPR is really easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
And that donation, it comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support. Get in on the match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And as Kate just mentioned, we do have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $4,000. So give now. Take advantage of this match because your $10 is going to become $20. Mm-hmm. And maybe $100 is going to become $200. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And why not, you know, support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR baseball cap. It will be your new fall favorite accessory no matter where you go. So give $10 a month or more. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hey, you can also become a sustainer. It's really easy to set up. And basically what it is that you will make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can set that up at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And that is going to provide reliable support for programs just like The Morning Show that you listen to every single day.
Deborah in Waukesha says, I'm donating because we love waking up to WPR. We love being your alarm clock, Deborah. Your gift is so important right now at WPR.org. And thanks. Now to reckless driving and what to do about the nationwide surge in deadly car crashes. Cars killed more than 42,000 people last year. Millions were injured. That's preliminary data from the nonprofit National Safety Council. Milwaukee Common Council President Cavalier Johnson told us recently that his number one goal as the potential acting mayor of the city is to address reckless driving.
We've seen in this community far too often that people make the choice to get behind the wheel of a vehicle, drive recklessly, and the results are catastrophic.
The Milwaukee Police Department created a traffic safety unit earlier this year. Why do you think traffic fatalities are getting worse? What is it like for you on the roads? Conversation is here, 800-642-1234. Journalist Marina Bolotnikova reported on the sharp increase in car accidents for Vox. Marina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, start out by explaining, you know, what is going on. You looked at all of the national data here and put this, you know, put this into perspective, more than 42,000 people. How does that compare?
Yeah, so all the data for 2020 and 2021 are still preliminary, but they will end up being quite close to what the final numbers are. And yes, like you said, cars killed more than 42,000 Americans in 2020. That's about an 8% increase from 39,000 in 2019. What's really alarming is it's continued to increase in 2021. So for the first 6 months of this year, from January to June, there's been a 16% increase in car deaths from the same period last year. So about 21,400 people were killed by cars from January to June, compared to 18,400 last year.
So it's not leveling off at all.
Yeah, no, it's not. And our total mileage in 2021 is still down a bit from the pre-pandemic norm in 2019, but it's getting close to pre-pandemic levels.
Have emptier roads or driving a lot less, has that maybe empowered more drivers to drive faster or drive distracted?
Yes. So experts are still trying to understand all the factors involved. You know, this is a big nationwide trend that's kind of hard to understand right away. But by far the most important factor seems to be that with so much less driving and particularly less driving during a predictable, you know, 9 to 5 rush hour. The roads were less congested. That's enabled people to go faster and to speed. And speed is the decisive factor in how dangerous a car crashes. It also makes a crash more likely to happen in the first place because your stopping distances are longer and it makes it easier to lose control of the car. There's also some evidence to suggest that there was an increase in drunk driving and in people not wearing seat belts. It's not entirely clear whether those things truly increased last year because there are always some people who are drunk driving and not wearing seat belts, or whether those were just more likely to result in death and be represented in the death counts along with higher speeds.
Well, clearly signs of risky behavior all over the place. Is that what you're kind of seeing?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a complex question because in the United States, our car prevention strategy has focused so much on personal responsibility, you know, the idea of people driving recklessly, you know, and so we encourage people to follow the speed limit, obey traffic laws, not drive drunk, and so on. And of course, all those things are good. I would never tell someone to not make every effort to drive responsibly. But I think putting the onus on individuals to prevent crashes has been, has really been a failing strategy. And we see that in how high America's death rate is compared to other countries. You know, cars here kill Americans at twice the rate they kill Canadians and Australians, three times the rate they kill Germans, and six times the rate they kill Norwegians. And part of the reason for that is because Americans simply drive more than people in those countries. But that alone does not explain the whole difference. Even on a per miles driven basis, we're doing a lot worse than peer countries.
Well, let's bring in Tom in Burlington with thoughts on this. Tom, hi.
I ride a bicycle, and people are so rude to me that I'd like to invent a blob gun, and I put this on the front of my gun, my car, my bike.
So Tom is also saying that, you know, cyclists are at risk as well when these drivers are engaging in these, you know, really risky behavior, like, driving all over the place and at very fast speeds, Marina.
Yeah, and bikers and pedestrians definitely are the most vulnerable road users. Not all drivers, are hospitable to the idea of sharing the road with bikers. There's been in the last decade, there's been a really large increase in pedestrian deaths. The number of pedestrians killed by cars has gone up about 50% between 2010 and 2020. I think centering the experiences of vulnerable road users like cyclists and pedestrians is the best thing we can do for traffic safety for everyone.
Journalist Marina Bolotnikova has been reporting on the spike in car accident deaths. What are your thoughts about the increase? Are you in favor of redesigning roads, putting up more ticket cameras? What would make our roads safer? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead on the Ideas Network. Risky driving has become more common in the pandemic. We're talking about what can be done, what actions to take here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get a check on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Jay Carlisle-Larson. Your gift right now, super important, and that's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. You keep The Morning Show and all the shows you enjoy going strong. So invest in your future listening now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we have this dollar for dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Belleville. So here is just some simple math. Your gift of $50 becomes $100. $100 becomes $200, and so on and so forth. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio's when you give right now at WPR.org or when you call 888-202-2552.
And you know, every day our team works hard to bring you a great morning of radio, and that is truly a pleasure because we know that you're curious and intelligent. We also know you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
And a big thank you for being a great audience and for being the reason we do what we do. And you can give one more thing, your financial support. Your support makes these mornings possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
More than 25,000 WPR members are proud sustainers. And that means that they make ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio.
You too can provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you care about, like The Morning Show. So become a sustainer right now. Choose an amount, maybe $10 or $20 a month, and set it up to be ongoing. It's really easy to do at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Makes me feel very good to be a sustainer.
Makes me feel like I'm a part of what's happening.
I know it's a valuable service.
I like being a sustainer because it helps contribute to the Wisconsin idea.
I like being a sustainer because I just like knowing that my money will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come.
go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with J. Carlisle Larson. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution, say, is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we truly count on your gift.
And now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it, maybe before you head off to work, before you get your day started. It really just takes a few minutes to contribute.
Absolutely. And you'll have that really good glow, that good feeling of supporting the programs you love. So see what that's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can double your glow and you can double your impact because we have this dollar for dollar match, which is still in effect. It goes up to about $4,000. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And of course, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Michael in Sun Prairie who said, I'm a longtime listener and a first-time sustainer. Well, welcome to the WPR team, Michael. Maybe today you want to become a sustainer as well. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
Traffic deaths are rising despite us driving less. According to the latest data released by the National Traffic Highway Safety Administration, more than 8,700 people died in vehicle crashes in the first 3 months of this year. That's up 10% compared to the same quarter last year. We have journalist Marina Bolotnikova, who wrote about the surge in fatal traffic crashes for Vox, and Marina stays with us. Let's take a call now. Mark is joining us from West Bend. Hi, Mark. What are your thoughts? Oh, hi, Mark. Can you hear us? And I don't think we have Mark. Are you there? Nope, he's not there. Marina, Mark wanted to know, how much does road rage play into this? Noticed a lot of drivers who are pretty angry, Mark says, on their commute.
Road rage. There is definitely some evidence to suggest that road rage was up during the pandemic too. I don't think there's really clear evidence into how much exactly that translated into increased death rates, but one traffic expert I talked to was telling me about, this idea that people kind of channel their emotions, their emotional needs or things that they're lacking, in their lives into how they're driving. And I think there is something to the idea that our collective, anger and despair during the pandemic affected how people are driving.
Well, let's look at possible solutions. And you wrote about rethinking road design. How can roads be redesigned to encourage safer driving?
Yes. So I was saying before the break that focusing on individual responsibility hasn't worked. And I really want to stress that our car death rate in the US is so high. Cars kill about the same number of people as guns in this country, about 40,000 a year. And so an important point of comparison is that the European Union didn't see a comparable increase in car deaths in 2020. They actually saw a decrease, and that should tell us that there's something specific about the American environment that's causing that's causing so many people to die. In the United States, our most dangerous roads are what are called strodes by some people in the traffic safety community, because they try to be both a street and a road at the same time, but do neither well. These are roads like East Washington, here in Madison, for example, which has relatively high speeds and also many intersections with a lot of starting and stopping and shared space with pedestrians and bikers. And these, you know, these conditions create many points of conflict, which contribute to crashes and deaths. Intersection crashes are happening all the time on Washington. Traffic on these roads like needs to be slowed down. There's no doubt about that. The problem with just lowering the speed limit is that driving is a subconscious activity. People don't really choose how fast they drive based on the posted speed limit. You know, we naturally adjust speed based on how wide the road is, how straight it is, how much clear space there is. It's like if you've ever noticed when you're driving in a place with narrow roads, with a lot of things going on in the street, maybe a lot of density and things in the median, that naturally forces you to slow down. This is a design principle that's been very successful in many European countries at slowing down traffic. I think Americans might have the idea that you know, that Europeans are like naturally predisposed to this, but actually a lot of European countries had very high car death rates, in earlier in the 20th century, just as the US did, and they've successfully brought it down. So this is a design, you know, broadly a design principle called traffic calming. It can involve things like making roads narrower, installing more lanes just by using some road paint to add a left turn lane or a bike lane, adding curbs to roads and medians. Basically, the more complexity that can be added to a road that makes the driver pay attention, the more it will slow things down. It's important to note that none of what I'm saying applies to interstates. Mm-hmm. So interstates don't have intersections. They don't have pedestrians or bikes. They're entirely designed for car traffic. And, you know, even though the speeds on interstates are so high, they're actually much safer than regular roads. Because of that, they don't have all of those points of conflict. But when we're talking about streets that people are turning off of, you know, that provide access to shopping centers and people's homes and things of that kind, those are, you know, those complex human environments cannot tolerate high speeds.
Marina, thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Journalist Marina Bolotnikova, her article in Vox is called America's Car Crash Epidemic. We have a link to her reporting at WPR.org/mornings. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. Hope you come along as we explore the Warren's Cranberry Festival. Have you been? As the harvest gets underway, a grower introduces us to their century-old family farm, and we learn about the many uses of cranberries. But now let's turn to the yields, if you will, of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with J. Carlisle Larson. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. And in fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And right now is a really good time to give because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,000 in effect right now. And you know, it's a great time, as I mentioned, because current members, including a member in Belleville, are going to double every dollar you give. So $100 becomes $200. And it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been exploring car crash deaths and what is going on there in the rise and the surge, looking at your experiences as you call in, looking more broadly at what states are doing and what can be done to change how roads are made. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
And WPR is listener supported, which means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes these conversations possible every single day. So pick an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. And when you think about it, a dollar a day is a really great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or less than a soda, less than a day of cell phone service.
Yeah, you can't really get too much for a dollar, but you can get a lot of great radio. And a dollar a day comes out to about $30 a month. And you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your charge card. So make your gift now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy.
I'm Scott.
And we're from Madison. We became sustaining members because we do listen to it every day. We really appreciate it. We thought this is something we want to make sure continues. We are now fixed incomers, but we enjoy this station. It's one of the highlights. I couldn't imagine living anywhere without a public radio station.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with J.C. Larson. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during our fall member drive is so critical. Maybe you set your gift to $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Help build the WPR community, not just as a listener, but as an active member. It takes the support of more than 50,000 members to make Wisconsin Public Radio as good as it can be.
Wow. And when you make your gift and join the community of listeners at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure that the great discussions, the music you enjoy is here for everyone.
And just as a reminder, we have that dollar for dollar match. It's in effect right now, up to $4,000. People are jumping on this right now. So don't lose out because, you know, it's going to help you really further the amount that you give. Maybe $10 a month, that becomes $20 a month. $100 becomes $200 a month. So give now. Don't leave this money on the table. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Shout out to Grace in Bailey's Harbor, who says, we start every day with WPR. Nobody else covers topics the way you do. Grace, thank you for your support. Your gift right now, so important. Follow Grace at WPR.org. And thanks. So I didn't truly appreciate cranberries until I arrived in Wisconsin. We are the nation's leading producer of cranberries, harvesting more than 60% of the country's crop. That's from the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. And so I use dried cranberries all the time in my salads, stir fries, oatmeal, muffins, scones. How do you cook with cranberries? Have you been to the Warren's Cranberry Festival over the years? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Amber Bristow is a fifth-generation cranberry farmer. Her family owns the Russell Raisin and Son Cranberry Marsh in Warren's. Amber, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So your family started in this business, your ancestors did, in 1918. What was it like growing up working a cranberry marsh?
Yeah, it's been such an honor. I always tell everyone it's such a unique industry, and I'm so excited to share that industry with people. So I grew up kind of just shadowing my dad. He's pretty much my role model. You know, he did everything on the marsh and he always included me in what he was doing. So I grew up just appreciating the land and watching, you know, this crop grow every year. Cranberries are a perennial plant. So there's really no off season for us. So to be included year round in such a cool crop was a very special memory from my childhood. And it was really hard for me to get away from that. So when I went off to college to go for sports management, because, you know, that's what every farmer goes to college for. once I kind of got into that industry and realized, you know, what the quote unquote outside world was like, it really brought to my attention how special and unique this is. And it was just a very strong pull to come back home and start working here again. So there's nothing really like it.
Yeah. And your father teaching you how to work with the crop and how to harvest the crop. Can you describe the cranberry harvest to us?
Sure. So the cranberry harvest for us, at least, usually starts around mid-September and lasts all the way through the end of October. So cranberries don't grow in water. That's kind of a big misconception surrounding cranberries. The only time that they're really in water is during the harvest process. So when it is time for us to harvest, we will just do a couple acres at a time. We don't do everything. So we take water and we just flood the cranberry vines just a couple of inches. And then we have this tractor that's called a harrow. So there's little metal finger-like bars on the front and on the back of this tractor. And this tractor will drive right into the cranberries, right on top of the vines. And those combs will go right down to the ground and they'll just kind of brush the cranberries right off the vines. And then once those berries are all off of the vines, we'll add even more water. So that's kind of like what you see in the commercials or on TV is when the berries are flooded with, you know, the water. That's kind of like the iconic image of cranberries.
Yeah.
We'll take these, what we call cranberry boom. And it's pretty much like, if you can imagine like those corrals that they use for like oil spills in the ocean, mm-hmm. kind of like those big floats, they'll kind of take those and then corral all the cranberries into one corner. And then we come in with pretty much like this giant vacuum and just suck all the cranberries out of the water and then load them into the back of a semi-trailer. And then all of our fruit goes to Ocean Spray for processing. So for juices and sweetened dried cranberries and all the goodies like that. So to sum it up real quick, that's kind of how our harvest process works. And we just move from acre to acre and we get everything done in about 6 weeks or so.
How quickly do you have to get the cranberries out of the water before they would start to spoil in the water?
Sure. So it kind of depends on the temperature. So typically we like to have like a day or two turnaround time. If they're sitting in water for too long and it gets too cold overnight, the fruit itself can get a little mushy, and that's not what we want, obviously. So as soon as we can, obviously it's a very quick turnaround. So as soon as it leaves the water here, it's going straight to Ocean Spray and to be processed. So I would say within 48 hours, it goes from being picked to being dropped off at Ocean Spray.
Wow, that's a pretty intense time. Have you been able to find enough workers for the seasonal harvest?
Yeah, you know, right now, thankfully, we have enough full-time help here. And we have enough family and friends that are willing to sacrifice their time. So thankfully we are very lucky in that sense that we can kind of just rely on family and friends to help us through these busy times. So fingers crossed, it kind of stays that way.
We're talking with Amber Bristow, who's a fifth generation cranberry farmer in Warrens. You can join in. Are you a cranberry grower? How is the crop this year? What is your favorite way to cook with cranberries? 800-642-1234 to join in. Amber, in recent years, there's been a cranberry surplus and growers had collectively agreed to destroy some of the crop. What was that like for your farm?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a surplus is, you know, is never what you want to hear. But I mean, at least I guess that's almost a good problem to have instead of having a shortage. But, you know, that's never an easy thing for a farmer to hear. So we just, you know, as farmers, you're kind of just up to Mother Nature. You know, you're just at her grip. So if that's what's happening, you kind of just have to roll the punches and, you know, just hope next year is a better year. But we also took it as an opportunity to be more innovative with our product. So thankfully, we have folks at Ocean Spray that were aware of the situation and they really took it upon themselves to take this as a positive spin and be like, okay, what can we do so we don't have this problem in the future? So they were looking to innovate new products, looking for new ways to involve cranberries in people's everyday lives and to market them in more of a positive way, instead of just focusing just on the holidays. You know, you can enjoy cranberries year round and not just during Thanksgiving. And so we've all been trying to, you know, really, really remind people of that and remind people of how much of a superfruit the cranberry is. Are packed full of antioxidants. There's so many good vitamins in there for you. And it just promotes overall, you know, great body wellness. So we've been really trying to remind people that, and it's been taking very well. So fingers crossed, we won't have to worry about an oversupply, because we've just found so many more ways to incorporate cranberries into people's lives.
Yeah, I'm wondering, are there more cranberry products on the market today? Are you finding that manufacturers are doing new things with cranberries?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm very aware of the fact anyway, so I might be noticing it more than other people, but you know, we've been noticing a lot more in pet food. You know, people are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure their pets are healthy more than themselves sometimes. So we're trying to really push the pet market and incorporating it more into, you know, like wellness supplements or, you know, things that people are really aware of right now. And even into things like dental products. You know, I've seen cranberries, you know, like cranberry flavored floss. You know, it's been proven that cranberries can help with gum health and just overall mouth health. So even things like that, that you might not be aware of, I've been seeing cranberries kind of pop up here and there. So that's been cool to see.
Owen called in, couldn't stay with us, wants to know how much the industry depends on cranberry exports. How much are you exporting out of the country?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not exactly sure the, you know, the percentages, but I know the markets have been opening up. A larger interest has been shown, especially in European countries. You know, they're starting to get on the cranberry train, as well as, you know, places like China and in over in Asia and India. Those are places that haven't really experienced cranberries before. So we're trying to really just make this a worldwide crop. You know, they have no idea what a cranberry is, what it tastes like, but they're aware of the health benefits of it. So we're trying to really just expand our horizons and make it as global as we can.
What has the pandemic done to your farm operation? Has it had an impact?
Thankfully, since we are mostly a family-owned farm, we haven't really been affected too much, and we are outside constantly. So even we were social distancing before we needed a social distance, basically. So thankfully we haven't been affected too much by it. Last year during harvest, we had to be extra careful, obviously. But you know, thankfully, fingers crossed, we haven't had too many issues with the pandemic out here.
Well, let's bring in Saul now in Stevens Point. Hi, Saul.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
When I was in New England, another big cranberry area, I found cranberry jelly, you know, like peanut butter and jelly, not the sauce that I don't particularly like at Thanksgiving time. So how come that's not common around here?
Saul, thank you. What do you think, Amber?
Great question. I've actually made cranberry jelly at home. I'm not sure exactly why, you know, that isn't more popular. Maybe it has been done in the past and it just never really took off in the area. We've been noticing that too, where out east, they'll kind of have different cranberry products than what we have here in the Midwest or even out on the West Coast. I think it's just very localized and what really, you know, you can't have products unless they sell. So I think that's kind of a regional thing maybe. That's a great question. I guess I haven't really seen cranberry jams or jellies out here too much either. But
well, Amber, how do you like to cook with cranberries?
We always around the holiday, we always like to make a cranberry sauce. I know Saul just said that he doesn't like that, so he might not want to hear this. But in other ways, I really like, especially with football season, throw cranberries in with your meatballs in the crock pot. So we take cranberry sauce, dump it in there. And it just adds a little bit more of a sweetness, or obviously on top of salads with sweetened dried cranberries. But also, no offense to the blueberry farmers out there, but cranberries do bake very well in like muffins and breads. So when you bake with a blueberry, the color will bleed into the bread.
Mm-hmm.
But cranberries don't do that necessarily. So they keep the color and it doesn't spread out. So that makes, in my opinion, sorry, again, blueberry farmers, it makes for a prettier muffin or bread. So that's That's always nice too.
Well, very quickly, the Warren's Cranberry Festival is getting underway. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm always excited. This is the 48th annual Warren's Cranberry Festival. Last year it was closed down due to the pandemic, but they're back bigger than ever this year. So I'm excited to go in and just eat all the food. That's kind of my favorite part about Cranfest.
Amber, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Amber Bristow is a fifth generation cranberry farmer, and her family owns the Russell Raisin and Son Cranberry Marsh in Warrens. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Stay with us next hour. We're in conversation with one of the country's leading epidemiologists, Michael Osterholm of the University of Minnesota. Will give us an update on where the pandemic is headed. Now it is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with J. Carlisle Larson. You count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And right now, your support can go twice as far because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Belleville. Your gift of $50 becomes $100, $100 becomes $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio's Just Like the Morning Show when you give right now at WPR.org or when you call 888-202-2552.
We've been talking cranberries, talking with a farmer and just their experiences with the harvest, just getting a read on so many different industries here in Wisconsin and getting your insights on cranberries. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible, whether it is learning about cranberries or, you know, getting the latest news. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And join Team WPR and support the new WPR baseball cap with the WPR logo on the front. You can show off your public media pride wherever you go. So wear it on a hike, to the ball game, of course, a grocery store, and this cap will be your new favorite accessory no matter where you head out to. So ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
And we're so thankful for you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. It will be matched dollar for dollar, match money on the table right now. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with J. Carlisle Larson. Your support during this fall member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Yeah, and as Kate just mentioned, we have this dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,000 in effect right now. And let me tell you, we are below half of that, so time is running out. Now, it is a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Belleville, are going to encourage you to double your gift. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio, but time is of the essence. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners, and whether you've been listening for years, maybe just a few months, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
If you've never given before, start with a gift of $120, or better yet, make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member, and because listener support is the largest piece of our funding, you're going to make a huge difference starting on day one. So start with your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Like JC said, match money still on the table. Our dollar for dollar match still in effect. We have about $1,500 of match money there, and we need to raise that. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.